Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Public forum.
Public forum is an opportunity for the public to get up and speak about anything they'd like to discuss.
Gentlemen, this is not something that I take pleasure in doing. I'm not comfortable doing these kind of things, and I'm glad that a lot of the people are gone, actually. Because this isn't about me making anything. The one thing I'd like to be known for is protecting this board and protecting the integrity of this board.
Well, drama in three acts. Kerry Smith, Santa Rosa County Commissioner, right at the end of the meeting on Thursday, saying, I got something I got to bring up. I don't want to bring up, but I want to protect the board. I'm kind of glad the public's not here because there's going to be an uproar over this. What is it that he's going to say?
But I tell you this because something came to my, well, it was right in my face. And I'm not going to mention names.
Oh, come on. It's no good without names.
But. But. One of the county commissioners, and I'm going to preface this with one thing. If there were anything in these conversations with me and a member of the upper level staff that I deemed to be sunshine, I would not be talking about this right here. I would be talking about an investigation. But there was nothing that was in sunshine in that conversation.
Man, way to build up the drama now. We got, like, unnamed county commissioners, potential sunshine violations, something that makes him have to talk in front of everybody and not willing to say no names.
But one of these members on this board had a member of, and I say press, with air quotes, because I don't deem her to be press, in his office with a closed door, listening to a conversation with me and an upper level member of staff. And admittedly so. I got a problem with that. I think everybody on this board has a problem with that. We should be afforded a degree of privacy and not think that somebody's going to be listening through a wall to my conversation.
Like, because you were yelling, or because, like, they had glass containers that they had ear to the glass, or like a stethoscope, or, you know, like they drilled a hole in the wall and the PPIs are, I mean, like, I don't know what this is. And I did not call Kerry. I don't want to pretend to be dumb, but I don't want to say the names he didn't say. Everybody who follows Santa Rosa politics knows exactly who he's talking about. And I don't want to say the names because I didn't check with them either. I'm just telling you. It's 100% clear who he means. So, to what? at first when I heard him say this, I thought, like, listening, like, did they record a conversation? Are we talking about, because remember Janice Gilley, when she was the Escambia County Administrator, they found a listening device inside her office. Remember that? That was, years ago, but, somebody had bugged the county administrator's office. Are they talking about a listening device? Are they talking about a recording? Because in Florida, there's pretty strict laws about, two-party consent. And everybody who is in a non-public conversation, they have to consent to a recording. So is that... Well, no. Again, if I went back and listened to it, and he's just saying, listen through the walls. Well, but how? And how would you find out? I have questions. But I agree with him. You're entitled to a degree of privacy. Then again, you know what this weirdly makes me think of? You remember when all of the weirdness around Scott Collins and Milton was going on, and Heather Lindsay and the clerk of court, they went to her house to make a phone call to Scott Collins sort of in secret because they didn't want to be overheard in City Hall. Well, it makes that sound like they were just being prudent, because at the Milton, you know, the Santa Rosa County Commission administrative complex or whatever, it sounds like that's a problem, is the walls is too thin.
If there's one thing y'all know about me, if I see stupid, I'm gonna raise my hand and point it out. And I'm just going to make a warning to this. If we're going to continue to play stupid games, be prepared to win really stupid prizes. And that's all I got. I'm going to make sure that that's known on this board.
So what's the remedy to this? Again, I don't know. Is it with some kind of amplification device? I mean, are we talking about, like, installing some kind of preventative measures inside the county commissioner's offices, you know, noise makers of some kind, or, you know, fans, or, you know, I don't know exactly what are we going to do to make sure that the spying like this does not, are we going to move, you know, commissioner's offices around and get them, you know, with different people near them? Or are we going to go for some kind of big infrastructure?
Max, it seems to me that
just a minute, Chief, isn't this top security?
Yeah.
Well, shouldn't we activate the cone of silence?
So I don't know what to make of it, but happy Monday. There you go. 516 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
What's up?
I'm tired of feeling so bloated.
That used to be me. Then I got this.
Align Bloating Relief plus Food Digestion. A probiotic, right?
Yeah, it works naturally with your gut to help soothe occasional bloating and gas. Plus, it has vitamin B12 to aid digestion by helping convert food to cellular energy. Two benefits, one capsule.
Align Bloating Relief plus Food Digestion from the number one doctor-recommended probiotic brand. Get $5 off at AlignProbiotics.com.
The Port of Pensacola is more than just a name. It's a powerhouse of economic opportunities, a strategic location that sparks growth and prosperity, contributing significantly to the local and regional economy with 23 incredible businesses that call this port home. Big names like C-Mex Materials, GE Wind Energy, and soon the prestigious American Magic Sailing Team. Since 1754, the Port of Pensacola has been the driving force behind Northwest Florida's economic success. Explore more at portofpensacola.com.
Sometimes I struggle to get to sleep. My body stopped for the day, but my mind is still running. So I take ZQuil.
ZQuil, the world's number one sleep aid brand, has a range of non-habit-forming products to fit you and your family's needs. Invest in a great night's sleep for the best you tomorrow.
I'm awake and ready to take on anything.
Better days start with ZQuil Nights. Explore our products at ZQuil.com.
Use as directed. Keep out of reach of children.
It's News Radio Pensacola on 92.3, 95.3, AM 1620, the website, the app, or your smart device. It's news on your terms.
Busted Lucky Charms.
They're magically delicious. They're magically delicious.
1, 2, 3, 4.
I don't care that it's the day after St. Patrick's Day. It's St. Patrick's Day in honor of today, okay? If you're not wearing green, I'm going to pinch you. But you got green on, Jake, so all good. David's in the other room. Can't tell if he's wearing green from here. I'll have to go check. St. Patrick's Day. Happy St. Patrick's Day yesterday. Hope you enjoyed your corned beef and your cabbage and your rubber potatoes and your Guinness. And, you know, just hope you had a good time. Hope you didn't drink too much. Well, I mean, I hope you drank some. It's not really St. Patrick's Day if you're not having some alcohol. 518 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. We occasionally talk about this just because it is unbelievable what's going on in Haiti right now.
We begin with some headlines out of Haiti, where the Caribbean country has been rocked by gang violence and the prime minister has resigned, leaving no clear leader in place. The U.S. State Department has announced a charter flight for Americans with valid passports who've been stranded since the unrest began, but warns it could be a very dangerous time getting to that flight area. Over a million Haitians are now on the verge of famine as food supplies are running out.
Yeah, no, it's really, really bad. You know, they had the earthquake, obviously, back in 2010, and they've never really fully recovered from that. But then, the president was assassinated back in 2021. Then you had the prime minister take over, and they've had elections, and, you know, they failed to hold elections, and now he's no longer. I mean, just it's a failed state. You know, the gangs are running Haiti right now. And if you've seen any of the video, and you kind of, I know it's a fair question to ask is, well, why don't, you know, where can they go, right? Well, Dominican Republic, I mean, is on the same island, right? But it's not obvious. Some of them do cross over back and forth, but it's not obvious that they can just flee and go over there, and as if that would really solve much of the problem.
9 Americans for the organization Mission of Grace are stuck in southwest Haiti after evacuating 300 orphan Haitian children from a gang-controlled area. Gangs in Haiti threaten civil war and genocide. An estimated 80% of Haiti's capital of Port-au-Prince is controlled by gangs who have burned down hundreds of buildings and openly shoot and kill people in the streets.
Oh, unbelievable. About two of the huge prisons were raided last month. 4,000 prisoners were released. I mean, it's as bad as you can imagine a situation being in Haiti. 520 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, North Korea is lobbing some more missiles into the sea. South Korea's military reporting a missile was fired Monday morning local time there. Japan's Coast Guard also confirmed that launch. They say the missile has fallen into the sea now. The missile launch coincides with U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken visiting South Korea. Former Vice President Mike Pence will apparently not be endorsing his former boss, Donald Trump. During an interview on CBS's Face the Nation, Pence said he could not, quote, in good conscience, endorse Trump in the upcoming general election for president. And good news for Celine Dion fans. She says she is determined to get back on stage despite her recent medical diagnosis. She's currently battling a rare autoimmune disorder known as stiff person syndrome. Mm-hmm. And over the weekend, she posted a photo of herself and her son. She says the battle is difficult, but she is set on getting back on stage.
Yeah, the interview with Pence was, as are all interviews with Pence, boring. it just was for the most part. But yeah, the part where he says he just can't in good conscience endorse him. What I don't understand, does that mean he'll vote for Biden? You know,
yeah,
he'll vote for none of the above. He'll vote for some cannot win third party candidate. He's waiting to see, you know, what are his options.
Didn't he sign a pledge at one point saying he would support whoever the nominee would be?
I would think, as having been a candidate in the Republican Party as a precondition of the debates. I don't, as I recall, they were requiring
I thought everybody had to sign that.
Yeah. So, I understand where he's coming from. Okay. And yet at the same time, I don't know what that means. I'm privately going to vote for him. I can't publicly endorse him. I can't say I would vote for him. I'm just, you know, the nuance here is, I guess, escaping me a little bit. Because if you're not going to endorse him, then the question is, you know, who are you going to endorse? Or are you just going to be like, no, Switzerland? Or are you going to be like, no, I'm not even voting. Hate elections. Don't believe in democracy. So, again, I get the frustration. You know, Donald Trump is not my first pick or my 20th pick. But, you know, given two choices, in that context, what do you do? Well, you know, I pick this guy. Reluctantly, but that's the choice you have. You can't vote in an election that doesn't exist. You know, hypothetically, I'd vote for something. Well, they don't exist, right? They all tried. You know, DeSantis tried, and Pence tried, and Haley tried, and Christie tried, and Ramaswamy tried. And, you know, they all failed. So there you go. 523 on News Radio 92.3. David, thanks so much for the update. $5 million legacy gift from the Bear Family Foundation. Oh, this is great news and also irritating. Because you know who we had on the show on Friday? David Baer. And it's one of those things where, you know, they had an announcement coming later on that day. And, I saw the news. I'm like, oh. But that's the nature of these things. It's kind of like when Sheriff Johnson is going to have a press conference at 10. He comes on the show and he's like, well, I can't say anything just yet about that. I'm like, oh. Yeah, I know. These are the rules. I understand. So $5 million in the naming of the business college at UWF. So very good. You know, obviously the Bear family gives a lot of money to all kinds of various institutions. IHMC, the the Y, PSC. I mean, they just put a building up on PSC that is, Bear and I forget if it, because it's like Bear and Studer and Levin and, you know, are the names that are sort of generally involved sometimes all together in these projects. And I just don't remember which one happened to be on that building just north and west of the library on PSC. It's kind of weird because I drive one of my kids over there for class, and it had been under construction for so long, and then all of a sudden the construction fencing was all gone, and there things all open. 437-1620. Oh, speaking of David, a very interesting conversation we had about the whether you could use the TDT, the tourism development tax money, in order to fund the flag in Santa Rosa County, and he had been saying on Friday that the primary purpose. That's not quite right. Somebody sent me the statute. I had not read the statute in a while, but the statute doesn't say that it has to be the primary purpose. The statute says, well, here we go. Promote and advertise tourism. This is 125.0104 of the Florida statutes. Promote and advertise tourism in the state of Florida and nationally and internationally. However, if tax revenues are expended for an activity, service, venue, or event, the activity, service, venue, or event shall have as one of its main purposes. As one of its main purposes, the attraction of tourists as evidenced by the promotion of the activity, service, venue, or event to tourists. So it doesn't have to be the primary, but one of its main is at least the way I understand. And I'm not a lawyer. I may, I don't sit on the TDC, so I may be misreading the statute, but that's how I understand it is anyway. And that would sort of explain why you have, maybe Tom Danheiser apparently had told James Calkins that it was eligible, but, Donnie Spencer, the clerk of the court, comptroller, had said that it's not eligible because you could have some conversation about to what degree is it meant to be an attraction of tourists versus an expression of patriotism, a celebration of Milton or Santa Rosa or whatever, So anyway, that puts it more in the plausibility category. 437-1620. Oh, we have interesting things happening at the Supreme Court this week and last week. Last week, this is actually relevant to a local case that the local case wasn't the reason it was at the Supreme Court, but, the Supreme Court Friday ruled that public officials who talk about public items in their social media cannot ban people from the social media page, can't block critics, because if they're acting as a representative of the official government entity, then they're not allowed to censor people. And there were these two cases. One came in Michigan, one came out of California. O'Connor Radcliffe v. Garnier. The Court of Appeals Ninth Circuit, this is the California case, ruled that two school board members violated the First Amendment when they blocked two parents from their personal Facebook and Twitter accounts, which they used to, provide information about the board and the work. The court reasoned that there was a close nexus between the trustees' use of their social media pages and their official positions. So if it's a official government, i.e. First Amendment subject forum, then you can't block people. In Linke versus Freed, I forget which of these cases, I'd read some about this before, but I think at least one of these cases had to do with people who were being just super obnoxious on the page. Not critics, but like repeated postings of the same nonsense over and over, spamming the page basically, which I am just aside from the First Amendment, and I know, okay, but I don't have any philosophical problem with banning, because that's like you show up at a meeting and you're disrupting the meeting, or it's like graffiti on the Facebook page. That's not First Amendment expression. That's ridiculous. And if you're, your ability to conduct a reasonable, interesting discussion, I think should allow you to control that kind of bad behavior. There are people who, not very many, but there are a couple who every once in a while behave this way, like on news radio's Facebook page or on my own personal Facebook page. And sometimes I allow it, sometimes I delete it. Just depends on what I feel that particular day, because it's just stupid, okay? And it interferes with the value of the thing, because if you're trying to create a thing that has a certain value to people and they come there and all they see is this spam crap, then you're ruining the thing. And so I side with the ability of people to control some content. But I get the First Amendment concern as well. In the other case, in Linke versus Freed, and we have had this conversation locally about commissioners who block people or block comments, or delete comments. In Linke versus Freed, this is the Michigan case, Port Huron City manager James Freed had a Facebook page that was his own, but was not part of his job. But he was not acting, therefore, as a government official when he blocked city resident. But sometimes things apparently got discussed on there that were city related. And there's the question. So I think in the wake of this, what you're probably going to see is government officials going to a, you know, like they have now, although they don't practice it, a two-phone system, one phone for official business, one phone for private business. We know that doesn't get done properly. But that they probably go to a two Facebook system. You know, their personal Facebook page for, you know, pictures of food and ponies or whatever. And then their official Facebook page where they talk about, but because otherwise they can't control the, and you know, on their official one, they're not allowed to control the content. By the way, the Linky versus Freed one, the Michigan one, they didn't decide what should be done in that case, but they sent it back to the Sixth Circuit below for reevaluation to see how much control he should have on that. So this is very, it's a very, very interesting case. And then today at the Supreme Court, you're going to have the argument over whether the government can tell social media companies who to ban and what content to take down for misinformation. That's going to be a huge, very interesting case today at the Supreme Court.
Fox News, I'm CJ Papa. Dallas, Houston, Phoenix, Las Vegas, and Reno. President Biden plans trips to those cities to drum up support for his reelection.
President Biden's battleground state swing this week is part of the campaign's strategy to meet voters where they are. At each of these campaign stops, the president will be reminding them of what they say the administration has done over the last 4 years. Publicly, the campaign appears bullish about their reelection chances. Privately, frustrations are simmering within his team.
Now, Fox's Madeline Rivera. The U.S. Supreme Court hears a big case dealing with censorship today. Did the Biden administration cross a line by calling different opinions on topics like COVID-19 and the 2020 election disinformation? Charter flight set up by the State Department carries dozens of U.S. citizens out of Haiti plagued by gang violence landing in Miami. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Right now, it is 59 degrees, cloudy skies in Pensacola this morning. Two women were hurt after a suspected DUI crash on Garden Street Friday night. Pensacola police say the vehicle those two women were in lost control and crashed into Adana's Garden Street Cafe and Bakery. The women were taken to a local hospital on trauma alert. PPD says their injuries are not life-threatening. Adana's Bakery posted to their Facebook page after this crash on Saturday, saying they are determined to, quote, rise from the ashes, dust off their rolling pins, and recreate the magic that once graced their counters. Well, investigators looking into a possible computer network security incident after a phone outage over the weekend. On Saturday, the city reported phones were not working, although that outage seemingly did not affect emergency dispatch or operations at the airport. The city did not comment further. They say the investigation is still ongoing. A Milton man has died over the weekend after being hit by a vehicle on Highway 87. FHP says two people were walking in the middle of that highway early on Sunday morning when one of them was hit. This happened near Sandy Hill Lane. Troopers say the vehicle swerved to try and avoid the pedestrians after seeing them, however, ended up striking the person that was closer to the center of the road. The pedestrian died as a result of the crash. The U.S. Coast Guard made a big dent in drugs heading into the U.S. last week. The crew of the Coast Guard cutter Campbell seized $52.7 million in narcotics, also arrested 27 suspects. Suspected drug smugglers last Thursday. One person is dead, two others hurt after a shooting in Duval County. That happened in Jacksonville Beach at a downtown bar last night. The two people that survived are reportedly in stable condition. Police now looking for multiple shooters. There's no word yet on a motive. More details are expected to be released at a press conference in a few hours. It is 534 News Radio 92.3, and let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather forecast.
This is meteorologist Brooke Richardson with your first morning weather update. We are going to be seeing a beautiful day today with mostly sunny skies, a little breezy for the afternoon, high near 66 degrees. Temperatures tonight getting very chilly, 39 degrees. For Tuesday, we will have that breezy weather continue with sunny skies, high near 61. Tuesday night, temperatures dropping near 46. Stay connected to the Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
And right now, we've got 59 degrees in Pensacola, also 59 in Gulf Breeze, just a few degrees cooler, 57 reported right now in Milton. Our next news at 6 and breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3.
News Radio Pensacola has you covered no matter where you are or how you like to listen. Tune into our frequencies on 92.3 FM, 95.3 FM, and AM 1620 for the latest breaking news, local updates, and in-depth analysis. Can't be near a radio? No problem. Stream us live on our website or through our convenient app. Available for download on your mobile device. Plus, with our smart device integration, you can ask your virtual assistant to play News Radio 92.3, and we'll be right there with you. It's News Radio Pensacola.
Hi, this is Todd Thompson, President and CEO of the Greater Pensacola Chamber of Commerce. Tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel for the Chamber Connection Show that will keep you informed on what's going on with your Chamber of Commerce. Tune in at 10 to find out about our upcoming events, all of our different programs, and what's happening with our local business community. It's the Chamber Connection Show every other Monday at 10 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
My name is Tasca, and I started working here 20 years ago.
I'm Diana, and it's been 12 years for me.
Hi, I'm Norma, and 20 years is my number.
I'm Sandy, and it's been 9 years for me.
And I'm Jeff, and I'm the General Sales Manager, and I'm inviting you to join our sales team here at News Radio 92.3. If you have sales experience, a desire for a career that is fun, exciting, while working with local and regional businesses, and with an uncapped income, we would like to hear from you. Send your resume to hr@newsradio1620.com. ADX Communication is an equal opportunity employer.
Start your mornings off informed with all things Pensacola on the Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
This is a love attack. I know when our body's back, it's just like any fat. It retracts before impact. And just like fashion, it's a passion for the
good wizard. Morning, 537 News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. We now have, I guess we're kind of halfway there on an issue that we knew was coming with regards to realtors here in the United States. Because there's a settlement that has been reached between the National Association of Realtors and the people who were suing them, saying that the structure of requiring the 3% for both sides and that the sellers would pay for both sides of the commission on real estate transactions is illegal. You know, the ruling had come before, and then the question is, well, what now? You know, what would be the outcome of that? And then, you know, basically, the takeaway is that this is a sort of cartel collusion situation that artificially inflates the price of the home, and that means that people are having to pay more for both the home and for the commission. Which, if you just kind of step back and think about the scenario that sort of does currently and has always existed with regards to, you know, real estate fees, it's insane. I mean, it's genuinely insane. In the sense that it's great for the realtors, it's great, I guess, for the home sellers, but even there, it's not great. Because it doesn't really make any sense to have, if you have two parties negotiating over a price, and both parties make money when the price goes up, right? You can see how that might lead to a problem. What it should be, if anything, is that at least one side would be paid proportional to the amount they could get the price reduced. I mean, then you would actually have a financial incentive for one side, the seller, to raise the price, and for one side, the buyer, to lower the price. Now, I think the argument that, you know, realtors might have made historically is, No, because that will prolong deals and bust deals. And, you know, what we're doing here is we're making sure the transactions happen. You know, we're greasing the machine, so to speak, they would say in a good way, by making sure that the both parties are interested in making deals. Well, you know, we use grease the machine to mean a lot of different things. And if both sides are getting paid when the price is higher, yeah, that facilitates transactions. But at whose expense? Well, at the expense of the buyer, and also at the overall expense of the price of housing overall. You know, because if everybody's motivated to sell, I mean, it doesn't mean that they are, because sometimes you still have, of course, good people. But, you know, the general rule about human nature is the reason we use money is because people are not inherently good. Right? If everybody were inherently good, we wouldn't need money. Everybody would be out there serving each other and doing the thing that they're best at. And that's what virtuous people would do. They would provide value to other people. That's money is a way of making you pretend that you're virtuous, right? I wouldn't cook you a dinner for free, but if you pay me, I'll cook you. I mean, that's the idea. I wouldn't, you know, bandage up your leg for free, but if, you know, you pay me, we'll have an ER. I mean, that's, you know, I'm not going to come and protect your house from the burglar. But, you know, if you pay me, I'll show up with a gun and a badge. I mean, those are sort of easy, obvious examples. But that's basically the nature of money, is to give people a selfish reason to behave as they would when they're virtuous. Like inside your family, you know, what do? Well, you cook dinner for the kids. Do they pay you? No. Why? Because you're a good person to your kids. You know, and if your kids need a ride somewhere, you take them. Do they pay you? No, because you're a good person to your kids. But if a stranger wants a ride, you make them pay you. We call that Uber, Lyft, or being a taxi cab, right? So money is there to get people to behave as if they were virtuous, as if they were helpful and willing to do good things for other people, okay? So, yeah, I mean, there's a sense in which all of this is true, that, you know, getting people to do these things. But if your overall effect on the economy, overall effect on prices is to go up, right? And if you're paying people in order to do a service for you, what are you paying them for? Well, if you look at other countries, and, you know, I don't know where this is all going to land. And by the way, we're going to talk to Christina Leavenworth about this in a couple hours at 7:35. So that should be a very interesting interview. You know, where she thinks this is all going to go, what her firm is going to be doing, and so forth. But in other countries, they do not charge this much. I mean, other countries, you know, in Britain, it's about 1%. In Singapore, the Netherlands, and Denmark, it's 2 to 3%. That's total, not that's compared to the 6%. Total is paid right now. And if you were just kind of stepping back and looking at this objectively and asking, you know, what would be the, I don't know, the sensible way to facilitate real estate transactions? You know, if you tried to look at a like a rational way to do it, selling $1 million house isn't 10 times harder than selling a, well, I guess there's no $100,000 homes anymore. Selling a $3 million home, make it easy. Selling a $3 million home is not 10 times more work than selling a $300,000 home. So why should it pay 10 times as much? Right? I mean, maybe it's more. Honestly, it's probably more work to sell the lower-end home in a lot of ways. Just because finding a qualified buyer, or because, you know, maybe, I don't know. It could be that it's the other way around. So if money is meant to compensate you for the difficulty, the challenge, right, the expertise level, well, it seems like something more akin to a flat fee would make sense. You know, you sell a home, it's worth $1,000 or $2,000 or whatever, and then maybe there could be some kind of bonus in there if you're representing the seller for price above a threshold. And maybe there could be some kind of an incentive in there for the buyer's agent for price below a threshold. Maybe you'd even have a penalty, you know, a negative impact for something. I don't know. There's all kinds of possibilities here. But you can see that this is going to create chaos in the real estate marketplace. Also, you've got to imagine there's going to be just less money running around, because certainly there are going to be firms who are going to say, you know, we'll do it for a percent, or we'll do it for 2% total. You know, and so you're going to have a price competition that is going to deplete the pool of money available to pay realtors, Because if 6% of all real estate transactions was the pool of money, and now it's going to be, let's imagine, 2% on average, that means there's one-third the amount of money left in the real estate market for realtors. And you got to figure a lot of people are going to find other occupations. So will that mean more realtors? I mean, certainly. It has to. Like, I can't imagine any other consequence. Will those realtors be paid more or less? Well, it's hard to imagine they'd be paid more. You know, you got to imagine. I mean, per transaction, they're certainly going to be making less. But then again, as people flee the endeavor, maybe they pick up the additional transactions. How many transactions per year can you do as an individual realtor? There may be an upward bound. I mean, you know, there's a lot of really interesting economic stuff involved here to figure out where this all lands and what the shape of the future for, you know, the realtor practice really is. And, you know, this is all pending the approval of the settlement, but I don't think there's any good reason to think it wouldn't be approved. And we seem to be at this point where something is going to have to change. The question is not whether the 6% mandatory three for each side is going to go away. It seems like that obviously is going to go away. The question is how much payment is going to go on, because the National Association of Realtors is on the hook for $500 million here. Not quite. $418 million. You know, it's not about whether the commission structure is going to change. It's just about, you know, how much are the organizations going to have to pay? And will anybody else have to pay? You know, will there be other lawsuits related to this general topic? And, you know, time will tell and all that. So I think this is a really, really interesting development. I think it's going to be, I mean, I don't know. That's why I'm really interested to talk to Christina coming up in 2 hours, because I'm curious what she thinks this is going to do to her profession. It's entirely possible that this could mean that homes drop in value. Right? I mean, that's entirely within, because at the very least, you know, as you have less of a sort of a upward pressure on the price from both sides, that means prices could go down. You also could have the possibility that transactions don't happen as much. I mean, maybe realtors become in short supply. And so, like I said, the economics is very complicated. So I'm curious to see how this all shakes out. But I think a fascinating development. If you were saying, like, if you were setting it, let's say you wanted to go into real estate practice. What do you think is the right way to pay realtors? You know, start from scratch and pretend there's no rule. What would be the right way to do it? Again, it seems to me like the sort of sensible thing would be some combination of a flat fee, a price paid based on how much you save me or make me selling or buying, and maybe some kind of a timeliness factor. You know, because on the one hand, you want to reward people for getting the price down if you're buying, but maybe you also want to reward them for timeliness and getting a deal done, because you want to have something in there that doesn't just make them want to say no all the time. I don't know. Just, you know, like I said, that's fascinating. 437-1620, 437-1620. Speaking of, Christina Leavenworth and her team at Levin Rinke Realty, I'm going to talk to her coming up at 735 this morning. But, man, I you know, there's nobody else I would rather have navigating this terrain than she and her folks at Levin Rinke Realty. They sold 175 homes last year. I said, how many can a realtor sell, you know, at any given time? What's the rate? Well, they sold three a week, a little over three a week, which is pretty impressive. But, you know, very emphatic about customer service, very emphatic about communication, emphatic about, you know, having a system that really works to produce the best sales price, and working with buyers, too, to get you good deals. Like, for example, one of the things is, and she's been on Pep Talk with Jake a bunch and talked about this, that, you know, buyers right now have leverage because of the situation in the market. And that means that people who are building new homes, you might think typically it's just pay the price or don't pay the price. Well, no, she says that they can buy down your points, for example, is a very common thing. And, you know, because they're motivated to sell. If you've seen, there's a lot of for sale for new builds. And, you know, that's something that you can work with. And how would you know that? Well, because you have a good realtor. 723-9158 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Levin Rinke Realty.
Got a bug problem? Or worse, a rodent situation? Insect makes pest control for your home easy and effective. First, Insect thoroughly inspects the problem and provides you with a free estimate and a treatment plan. Then once on the job, Insect identifies targets and eliminates common household pests, including rodents, roaches, ants, and fleas, with guaranteed results. Insect's professionally trained technicians will safely and effectively eliminate pests inside and outside, while also taking preventative steps to stop other pests
pests from infesting your home. Afterwards, a report with pictures will be emailed to let you know what was found and the work that was performed. To make it even easier, Insect offers annual and quarterly pest control services to stop pests from infesting your home. Guaranteed. Outside, inside, from inspection to treatment to follow-up. Insect Pest and Lawn makes whole home protection safe and easy. Just say no to bugs. Join the Insect family today online at insect.net. That's ENSEC.net.
Exciting news, the data revolution is on the rise once again. Data Revolution is seeking a second-tier engineer with at least 2 to 3 years of experience in IT, networks, voice over IP, and cybersecurity. Data Revolution's competitive salary is based on experience, and their comprehensive benefit packages include a medical stipend, matching 401k, flexible work hours, starting with 3 weeks of PTO, 10 paid holidays, profit sharing, and more. This is not remote or work from home. To learn more about this opportunity, send your resume to resume@datarevs.com.
One weekend, nine incredible events. From Molino to North Pace, from Beulah to downtown Pensacola, we have something for everyone this Easter. Join us for one of our fun-filled egg hunts on Saturday, March 3rd, or one of the powerful services on Sunday, March 31st. Discover more at PensacolaEaster.org. That's PensacolaEaster.org. Celebrate the joy of Easter with Marcus Point Baptist Church.
As a business owner, you have a lot on your plate, from managing staff, growing your business, training new hires, and more. With so much going on, you need Avalon. As an IRS-certified PEO, Avalon HR can help. From running your payrolls, remitting state and federal taxes, helping with COVID employee retention credits, workers' compensation insurance, employee benefits, and their HR expertise. Avalon HR lets you focus on your core business while we handle the rest. Avalon HR, employing made easy.
Here are the News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 contest rules. You can win one prize per household per contest in any 30-day period, unless specified by individual contest rules. All prizes on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 are non-transferable, non-redeemable for cash, or exchangeable for any other prize. News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 prizes must be redeemed within a 30-day period of winning. For a complete list of rules, visit newsradio923.com.
Right now with Joe and Austin, 4 to 7 on News Radio Pensacola. Informative, local, dependable.
My theory is it's casting a shadow from the other limb.
Guessing by your non-reaction that it might be we have discovered someone who is a Mobile Leprechaun virgin. Are you a Mobile Leprechaun virgin? Have you not heard the story of the Mobile Leprechaun?
I have not.
Oh yes!
Is this the one that was on the news?
Yes!
And the guy's talking about it was in the tree?
Yes.
Okay. No, I do know about that. That was in Mobile.
Yeah.
Oh my, I never knew it was that close.
Curiosity leads to large crowds in Mobile's Crichton community. Many of you bringing binoculars, camcorders, even camera phones to take pictures.
To me, it looked like a leprechaun to me. All you gotta do is look up in the tree. Who else seen the leprechaun? Say yeah!
Yeah! Eyewitnesses say the leprechaun only comes out at night. If you shine a light in its direction, it suddenly disappears.
That's my favorite thing. It's right up there with backup, Terry. I mean, it's like right in that vicinity and every year.
This amateur sketch resembles what many of you say the leprechaun looks like. Others find it hard to believe and have come up with their own theories and explanations for the image.
My theory is it's casting a shadow from the other limb.
Could be a crackhead. It got hold to the wrong stuff. And it told me to get up in a tree and play a leprechaun.
Could be a crackhead. Oh, yeah. No, this is all-time classic stuff. Like, this is... WEAR even reposted this yesterday, and we shared it on our Facebook page, of course.
This guy helping to direct traffic says he's prepared for his encounter with the leprechaun. He's suited up from head to toe.
This wars off spells right here. This is a special leprechaun flute, which has been passed down from thousands of years ago from my great-great-grandfather, who was Irish. I just came to help out.
I just came to help out.
You know, I heard there was a leprechaun here. I just came to help out.
Ancient leprechaun flute that was passed down from generation to generation.
Others just came to get lucky in hopes a pot of gold may be buried under this tree.
I'm going to run a backhoe and uproot that tree. I want to know where the gold is. I want the gold. Give me the gold. I want the gold.
Oh, man. You wish it was fake, but you don't because it's so delicious. It's so fantastic. Oh, man. 554 on News Radio 92.3. Just when you're excited about how we have this presidential preference primary coming up tomorrow and everybody who's a voting age and hasn't felony disqualified themselves, their vote counts. Every single one of them. 554 on News Radio 92.3. You ever want to be an aristocrat about voting? You know, maybe it really should just be the landowners. There's a lot of people that would make you think that's the right way. 437-1620. Every Florida man story makes you think that. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
You know, they're going to be disappointed when they uproot the tree and all they find is a box of Lucky Charms.
You don't know. You don't know. It's going to be a pot of gold under there.
I'm just trying to keep them away. I want to get my excavator to the tree first is really what's going on.
Right.
The Israeli prime minister speaking out against Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer's criticism of the Israeli government during an interview on CNN. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said it was totally inappropriate for Schumer to call for a replacement of Israeli leadership. And he says the majority of Israelis support the country's approach to their war with Hamas.
Oh, hey, here. I think I got it here. I was just looking for it while you were talking about it. Here.
Chuck Schumer is the highest ranking Jewish elected official here in America, a staunch supporter of Israel. What's your response?
I think what he said is totally inappropriate. It's inappropriate for to go to a sister democracy and try to replace the elected leadership there. That's something that Israel, the Israeli public, does on its own, and we're not a banana republic.
It really was a stunning thing for Chuck Schumer to come out and say that Benjamin Netanyahu's government is in the way of peace and they need to have another election. I mean, that's wow. You know,
oh, absolutely.
I mean, that is unheard of in America saying this openly about an ally state like Israel or France or Great Britain. I mean, you could say it about like Haiti, you know, failed states, Afghanistan, Russia, China, you know, adversaries. But you don't say this about allies. I mean, go ahead, David.
Well, and I believe you've already mentioned this, but five states holding presidential primaries this week, including Florida. Donald Trump and President Joe Biden already have enough delegates to get their party's nominations, but they are still looking to increase their delegates across the states. And a gray whale has died and washed ashore in Malibu over the weekend. That was apparently spotted Saturday by somebody who was doing some drone photography. The whale was alive when it washed ashore, but unfortunately it did die yesterday. So now staff from the California Office of Wildlife are going to be doing some samples and try to determine what happened.
Very good, David. Thanks so much for the update. 557 on News Radio 92.3. I was probably going to save more of this commentary for tomorrow, but I'll mention it since you mentioned it. The primary system in America is it's an atrocity. It's a disgusting failed system. How is it possible that the third largest state in the country doesn't get to have an input into who's going to be president because it's already been decided? And I'm not, Texas and California also, right? How is that possible? It's an insane system. You cannot justify this system. Now, maybe if we went through this process with a more reasonable method, maybe Donald Trump would still be the nominee. Maybe Biden would still be the nominee. Okay, maybe you get the same result. But this process is so profanitied up. I mean, it is. And I don't, not just the way we do primaries and caucuses, but the whole, you know, like the closed primary system where the parties, I mean, all of it is a hot mess. You know, why do we have gridlock in D.C.? I think you can make a pretty good case that the reason you have dysfunction in D.C. is because you have closed primaries in which, what, 80% of all congressmen are locked for Republican or Democrat in advance. It's a known outcome. That's insane. Of course people don't feel represented. Of course the most extreme candidates get elected. Of course, because you have to run to the right or the left in order to win your primary against the moderates. Because the actual moderating factors that would select better candidates don't get to say in your primary. It's an insane system. Now, I'll tell you, my own personal recommendation for primary reform is you open the primaries or you don't. I mean, why should the public be paying for primaries that can't, that private parties conduct? I mean, that's insane, too. Anyway, one or the other. You can't have both. But I've always believed in four super regionals. Northwest, Northeast, Southwest, Southeast. You know, do 12 or 13 states this month and then 12 or 13 states the next month and 12 or 13 states and rotate who goes first. At least then you would have something approaching a reasonable system.
Local talk in the morning, 5 to 9 with Andrew McKay is on News Radio 92.3. WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.